A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Life is full of what ifs. Some awesome, like what if AI could fold your laundry? And some, well, less awesome, like what if you have unexpected medical costs? UnitedHealthcare can help get you covered with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. They supplement your primary plan to help you manage out-of-pocket costs. No deductibles, no enrollment periods, and especially no more what-ifs. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
The following is a presentation of the Four Center podcast feed.
From the center of the galaxy, this is the Four Center podcast feed. I'm Ken Napsok for another edition of Star Wars Rank. Me and a guest ranking things in Star Wars doesn't get any more simple than that, and it's always a lot of fun. We're coming off of an episode, if y'all listened last week, that was kind of a wild, outside-of-the-box concept of our favorite Star Wars non-Star Wars characters in Star Wars, and thank you to those who took to that episode. But we're going in Star Wars here today. We're going in deep. And this is actually, Joseph, a question was asked on our main show last week, our Star Wars questions episode about Imperial officers. And you had pointed out, you had just started kind of ranking episodes. And well, maybe we should do this. This is Star Wars Ranked. So Joseph Scrimshaw's here, and we are here to rank our favorite Imperial officer moments. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm very happy to be here, as always. Extremely happy about this topic, because it was one that I realized that I had more thoughts than I realized I did. We've had this a lot over the years where we get questions. Now we've got that separate podcast. It's just Questions of the Force, and people ask wonderful questions, and we kind of joke as we're recording, like, this could be a ranked episode. And then I always kick myself because I don't remember them. So this last episode, a wonderful patron on our Patreon, Jay Winkworth, really expressed, like, look, I'm a big fan of the Imperials, but I don't have a lot of people to talk to about them, and asked a bunch of great Imperial questions, including, what are your favorite moments? And I got to number 4 in writing down my answers. Of like, wait, there are too many. Let's do this as a ranked episode. So thanks for that question. And that's why we're doing this, ranking not favorite officers, but favorite moments with the Imperial types.
Yeah, yeah. And Jay, thanks a lot. Yeah, way back, I think Star Wars ranked 38.
which is going back a few years now. I think I ranked best Imperial officers. I seem to remember that being like a solo episode I just kind of did by myself. Only because, you know, I mentioned how much I love them too. But this is a great update, Joseph. This idea of moments. There's so many moments to the point where you and I are even kind of making sure we don't have, too many honorable mentions. It just could be a 3-hour episode. Because you just pointed this out off air. This is such a great point. So many of the Imperial officers are played by these great character actors who just give you great reads off of looks and little bits of dialogue that might not be mean much or look like much on the page, but they fully get the intention of the lines and just bring the heat as officers.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's sometimes, you know, we really break down like deep and meaningful moments. And there are some of these moments that I feel like there is deep meaning in, but some of it's just like, oh man, I've watched Empire Strikes Back 1,000 times. And I just love that acting choice every time because there's just so much experience of living in a character and playing this type, this uptight Imperial type that these actors just bring and crush it.
Yeah, absolutely. And there are those fans of the Imperial officers, which is weird to say because often they're, enacting out the Emperor's fascist dreams there on the ground. So we always got to say that little caveat of, it's not like we're rooting for them, but they're part of Star Wars. And the design of the uniforms, the sleek look, everything about it, it definitely stands out. And as a kid, I found myself drawn to them in ways that I didn't even fully understand. And we were even joking on that questions episode of maybe I shouldn't dive in deep as to why as a kid I went to these stern authoritarian figures. I don't know. But as Star Wars fans, we can understand here that this is a lot of fun. And a note here, I think without a doubt, we just kind of gravitating towards the movies. Not all of our answers are from the movies, but Imperial officers are all through books and comics and TV shows and video games and other forms. So we do touch on those. But Joseph, it's hard to just deny that instinct to just think, oh, I'm going to go to Empire Strikes Back, where that's pretty much a movie of nothing but Imperial officers.
Yeah, you know what happened to me when I tried to make my list, Ken? I suddenly had been ranking my best Piet moments from Empire Strikes Back. It's like, oh, wait, I've got four things written down and they're all Piet from Empire Strikes Back. Like, okay, I got to broaden my Imperial horizons.
So funny because I put in like I grabbed my VHS. I brought up Disney Plus and played Return of the Jedi first because I knew one of the moments I was going to include. And I was like, I better rewatch that. So I ended up watching Jedi first. So all my lists started to become from Jedi. And then I went to Empire. Then all of them started to be Empire. And I just, thank God for Disney Plus. No, we get no points of sale. No money comes to us when you sign up for Disney Plus. But I just got to say, thank God for Disney Plus, because I was able to just bring up all the movies and immediately go to the points that I wanted to watch. Back in the day, I'd be rewinding VHS tapes for hours.
Me too. Just life-changing for the Star Wars podcast. And he's like, I just want to find that one moment in A New Hope where that one guy delivers this piece of information. Like, I think it's around here. Yeah. Great to have.
So we're going to dive in. Again, these are our favorite Imperial officer moments. And officers can be in these. So you'll see as we go. And as we always, we work our way 5-1. But we're going to flip it around here. We know a little bit of our list ahead of time here. And I thought this was a real fun synergy that happened. So let's flip it around. I'm going to start with my number 5 here.
Ooh.
Because, Joseph, I think it tees up your number 5 really well.
Excellent.
And we're going to one of the first big Imperial officer moments. And I have loved this moment. And it's one of those characters I've loved to know, right? Like, that's not beyond just a trivia answer. Just like, oh, here's what that person's name is. Here's who that character is. I love that. And then later on, they kind of take this little moment and they take this character in modern canon in the comics. So they use this to kind of expand his story a little bit. So love all this here. We are going to the Death Star. We're going to A New Hope. We're going to General Cassio Tag, knowing that the Death Star is vulnerable and that you should watch out for these rebels here. He says, until this battle station is fully operational, we are vulnerable. The Rebel Alliance is too well-equipped. They're more dangerous than you realize. That sets some stuff up we're going to talk about here in a second. But I love this, Joseph. I love this because these are the leaders. And we've got Tarkin. You don't maybe want to mess with Tarkin. He's got some thoughts on what to do. But Tarkin, throughout this meeting, has these wonderful looks of like, that's a good point. Oh, I hear what you're saying. Like, this is like a meeting, man. And I'm sipping. You can hear me sipping. I'm sipping out of, this is my collector's Imperial Officer mug I got at Galaxy's Edge. Thank God you let me know it was there, Joseph, because I didn't see it when I first went through that store. I love the scene. And then, and I'll end my tag rant here.
No.
They take this line. They take the fact that he doesn't show back up and he's kind of in charge of the fleet, not in charge of the Death Star. They realize he wasn't there. They can, if you want, you could choose. He wasn't there when the Death Star explodes. So they take this line and the Emperor is aware of it or aware of just tag thoughts in general and kind of gives him credit. He says, you kind of saw what was coming. Everyone else is a bootlicker. You were the one who was like, we got to pay attention to this. And he kind of gets promoted, gets some more power. He's kind of above Vader in the early Vader comic run from 2014, 2015 range. Does Cassio's story end up happy? Nah, it doesn't. But I just love everything about that. That's where I'm starting my list. Cassio Tag knows what's up.
Oh, that is such a great place to start. And yeah, I am glad you flipped. And I was tempted to put almost every line, every beat, every flick of eyes from the scene in the list. There's so many great things. This scene is so rich. It's one of those scenes that I'm sure worked great in 1977 for this film called Star Wars then, but has only become richer as you realize the full weight of what Tarkin's starting the meeting with. Like, by the way, wiped out the Senate and this battle station. It's just a big fear spreading eye going to float around the galaxy. It'll all be fine. And Tag's the one to go, yeah, to everything. He's like, well, I just love that he is the one who's like, look, I'm all on board with absolutely controlling the galaxy, but you guys are all you're in fantasy land about your power and your fear. Like, I just love that he, you know, this line that you highlight about, you know, the battle station is actually vulnerable. The Rebel Alliance is too well equipped. But then he also questions the whole, like, but how are we going to maintain control?
Yeah.
Just a great Imperial to start with, the one who is maybe aligned with the goal, but questions the hubris.
Yeah. Yeah, no, and especially when you put it all down on the map now, and this is just, days after Scarif, and I like that you still got these blowhards in the room who are like, tisk, tisk, nothing. It's just a mere flesh wound. And he's like, did you just see what I saw in the holos? They're well equipped. And even Vader's playing the whole game, right? Don't worry. I'm going to get the plans back. And I like that Tag is questioning all that there. Yeah, it's interesting. It's fun. And you're right. Almost every line from this almost sets the template for what great Imperial officer moments are, this whole meeting.
Yeah. Classic stuff.
So that is my number five, but we're not done talking about that meeting, sir. You're number five.
Well, from that conversation with Tag, we go right to his main opponent in this Imperial meeting debate, Conan Antonio Motti, Admiral Motti. This is one of the characters I was excited to learn the name of that guy that Vader chokes. And the choke is, of course, part of it. But I think the reason I really gravitated toward this line is he represents a lot. He represents the hubris, just like the fanatical obsession with the Death Star. Like he is so enamored of it. It's not just, I've analyzed this and it's strategic. Like Tarkin has some hubris, but it's very strategic. He's just like, are you like writing Valentines to the Death Star? Like, he steps over into fanatic, and that's what's really fascinating to see. And I think, like I said, it worked great in 77, but it's only taken on more weight to see him, this officer who is so enamored, fanatical about the Death Star, that he pushes back against Vader and mocks him so much. And those are the lines that I really focused on to highlight. They're written in this very big, bold, pulpy way. They give us some insight into the Force and to Vader's station within the Empire.
But they're just classic lines. So it's Admiral Roddy saying, "Don't try to frighten us with your sorcerer's ways, Lord Vader. Your sad devotion to that ancient religion has not helped you conjure up the stolen data tapes or given you clairvoyance enough to find the rebels' hidden fortress." End joke. And you get the sense that he was going to have several other colorful examples about why Vader and the Force are just garbage if Vader didn't cut him off. And of course, get older too, it's fun to realize that they're the actual turn of phrase Hidden Fortress when that film had such a big impact. So there's so much I love about this. This line in a different movie with the exact same meaning wouldn't be written in such a bombastic, pulpy way. Frighten us with your sorcerer's ways and your sad devotion to that ancient religion. Conjure up, like, it really, really does. It's one of the moments that starts this great Star Wars conversation between sort of the rigid and the technical and the flowing and the organic and even the dark side. Yeah. You know, Vader presents it that way. Just how much he's mocking it, like Vader's just like, you know, you know, the stereotype of, like, you could take these lines that, like, somebody, you know, is saying this to somebody they think is a witch in the 1600s, right?
Yeah.
Like, you're seeing stones, like, you know, you're scented candles. Like, it's so dismissive. It's what I love about it.
Yeah, no, I'm right there with you. This is a great scene. Absolutely, just everything about it. Tag, Modi, everyone, you, Lauren, sitting there, right? Mm-hmm. So much. But and how much is, we grew up with this as kids from our original trilogy point of view, but to see just how this meant more than even I was aware of, you know, at the time, for what it means for Vader, his place in the organization, as kind of just seen as the Emperor's you know, attack dog and Tarkin's lapdog, almost, in a way, just like, you know, no clearly respect, but it's based out of fear. And this is a moment of that, right? You can see everyone like, see, you poked the bear too much there, Modi. But that this is probably in a lot of ways a prevailing thought about Vader here. And it also kind of works to set up what Luke's about to learn, that we kind of, there's ancient powers and beliefs out there that are long gone. And this we know from Obi-Wan, but we get that sense here from Modi. Now, I'd love to hear the sentence can continue and be like, and the uprising on Lothal and those Jedi that showed up. And I've even seen some people joke about that online. It's fun now to add that in there now. But yeah, I'm with you. It means so much now, and it was so effective then.
Yeah, your glow stick failed to retrieve the plans aboard Scarif. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. I heard someone did the Kessel Run in 12 parsecs. Did you stop that?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And then, of course, it leads into the famous choke and the famous Vader line, and, you know, going chronologically, establishing the Vader choke. But I just love the power in that speech. So that's my number 5.
It is a wonderful moment. We are off and running with our favorite Imperial officer moments, but we're going to flip it back around, Joseph. You're going to take the lead here again with your number 4. What is your number 4 moment?
My number 4, I cheated like an Imperial would and got 2 in 1. I'm going to Empire Strikes Back, and 2 just small beats that I just really love and have always appreciated. I'm calling it Dueling Head Motions. I struggled not to write down every beat of Ozzel and Piet, both great experienced actors. But I went to a moment from Ozzel and a moment from Piet that are both head gestures. I love after Ozzel and Piet kind of have that little argument about whether or not the information that the probe has picked up on Hoth is, you know, should be reported up the chain to Vader, and Piet totally wins, right? And then Ozzel just does that little military, I'm marching forward to do my duty, but I stop briefly to stare at you and to just let you know, in this sort of like old-fashioned British army way, you have displeased me, subordinate, and he's off, right? It's just like this, it's almost like this, like, knowledge that the Empire functions with sort of you know, intimidation and this is like the rules of the animals, and I'm going to stare you down to remind you that I am dominant and you are not. I also have things to do, so I'm just going to do it for 1 second so you know and then I'm off. And it's just, it's so crisp. It's so perfect. Michael Sheard had the absolute wonderful opportunity to meet him at a convention years ago. Just a charming, great actor, did a lot of Doctor Who as well. And that moment just adds so much, right? You know exactly who that guy is. Like, I'm going to leave, but first I'm going to give you a stern stare.
Yeah. It's, it's one of those little Star Wars beats where the way he walks, it's like a step, you know, like it's in my brain. Yeah. I think I've, you know, done that walk to friends. Like I'm doing the Ozzel thing. Huh? get it. I'm doing the Ozzel thing. I love everything about that little look. And the fact, and I'm trying to play it out in my head here, of at this point, he doesn't know that Piet's right. No one does. It's his calculated risk. Yeah. The old sorcerer is saying, you know, yes, it's there, but reality is it's probably not. So I just love that Ozzel's just got this extra layer of like, and you've embarrassed me.
You've embarrassed me and you've embarrassed yourself. You're wasting our time. And then the contrasting head motion after the famous, wonderful choke of Ozzel. I forget that it is actually even happening as the wipe transition is happening. I love, you know, Piet gets promoted over Ozzel's body. There's a wonderful, like, great, sure, trying to pay attention while you're choking the former guy. Got it. Great. I'm on it. All that from Piet. But then as soon as that ends, just the head nod that I have always interpreted as, okay, great, I'm going to follow all of Vader's commands, but first I'm calling someone to pick up the body of my former boss.
Totally.
Right? Have you interpreted it that way? Of like, first order of business is we have a specific dead body janitorial staff, and I'm gesturing to them.
Yeah, I would love to see like a animated version. Maybe the Galaxy Adventures YouTube Star Wars Kids shorts can show us the other side of this, where like there's got to be some other mid-ranking officers, or like you said, some janitorial staff on call. But everyone's probably seen it happen, right? Everyone around there in that data pit in that area. So they're all staring, and I just love with that thunk, there's probably a gasp, and just then, but it's Piet's way of saying, all right, cool. Hey, business as usual. We are the Empire. We got to go on. And then he can go celebrate privately. I think Piet goes around the corner and gives a fist pump. Just like, yeah, I got promoted.
Oh yeah. No, I mean, he totally won this little battle. Like, oh yeah. That stern stare really scared me, Ozzel. I was right. And I got your job now, you know? Yeah. And it's just, it's a lot of those beats like Empire Strikes Back that they're in every Star Wars movie. But one of the things that I continue to love about Empire Strikes Back is all those little details. It would have been so easy to have that scene just end on him looking frightened, and just that little detail, you know, adds so much.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely does.
So that's my number four, Doolin head motions of Ozzel and Piet.
I love that. Bookends of head motions. I love that. All right, we are going to go to my number four. And my number four, again, man, you and I, in discussing this question on the Star Wars Questions episode, this was mentioned. And I just was like, I don't know. I want to maybe find something else. I was trying to challenge myself to find something else. And then I watched the beginning of Rogue One, Joseph, and I was like, this is just an amazing scene. I love everything about Galen Erso, Ben Mendelsohn as Orson Krennic. I just love it. I really dig it. And you had highlighted this, but I just love the line. It's just so much of where he is and what it kind of takes to succeed in the Empire, which is scary. And this is Erso kind of pointing back, you know, talking about, you know, fear and all the bad things and the terrorism that he's doing and just the Krennic coming back with, well, you have to start somewhere. It just doesn't care. And it leads, and you know, I could easily put, oh, it's beautiful. I love that line as well for what it means and the horror that is happening in this, in that scene with the Death Star and Jedha. But this is the setup for that. He's long gone. You can't reach him. His ambition, everything about it is already taken hold. It's already poisoned him. And here's Erso with this real powerful emotional statement, this emotional truth. And Krennic just doesn't care. Whatever. You have to start somewhere. That's what we do here. And even the little bit when Lyra shows up and you're going to take all of it. No, I'm going to take all of you. We'll be prisoners. Now you'll be heroes of the Empire. He knows he's lying. He doesn't care. It's all about himself. And it's all about the organization he serves. So love that beat.
Yeah, it is such a good through line when you examine these Imperial moments. And, you know, I sometimes forget just how crisply and clearly it's stated in A New Hope in that Imperial scene of like, fear will keep the local systems in mind. Fear of this battle station of like, we are going to control the entire galaxy through fear. We are going to point a giant gun at the galaxy and no one will disobey us and we'll have order. And go back to Palpatine in Revenge of the Sith saying, and we shall have peace. This kind of, you know, order that is, yeah, don't question anything that's done. We take whatever we want from you. We do whatever we want to your planet and you don't say anything about it. And that's peace and order.
Yeah.
And there's that through line of that's the idea of what the Death Star is. And that's the exact idea that Galen's pushing back at, right? You're confusing peace with terror. And then to have Krennic come back and going, well, you have to start somewhere. It's kind of like, yada, yada, yada. Yeah, I know. Yeah, we get the peace through terror. Yeah, sure. Of course. What are you, a 5-year-old? Grow up. Yeah, fine. Yeah. You got to start somewhere. They'll be scared. There won't be any problems. We'll get medals. What are you whining about, you big, you know, naive baby?
Yeah. Yeah, no, the subtext, Krennic could just respond back with, yeah, uh-huh. Gotcha. Yeah, you got it. You figured it out, Chad. Good stuff.
That's the mission statement. Yeah.
what do you think we're doing here?
Well, you have to start. It also just does speak to like, you know, is this a lie that he has kind of internalized of?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, people need a firm hand to guide them. And like, yeah, if you have to start by scaring them, fine. That's what it takes to get order. And that's what we're all doing. Yeah. There's nothing wrong with it. Yeah. It's such a great line. And it's funny. It's, you know, it's awful, but it's real funny.
Yeah, no, and it's a bunch of great performers, the Death Troopers doing their sounds behind you. It's a real great Star Wars scene, and I love it. And that's why it's on my list. But now we're up to your number three.
My number three, we are going to take a trip to Solo, probably my most controversial selection on the list. But we are going to the disinterested sniff of Drawd Munbrin. This is one of those, from doing the Star Wars trivia, I was just like, I just want to do this enough so somebody someday asks me, what is the name of the Imperial who gave Han Solo his name? Drawd Munbrin. Look, somebody like Drawd Munbrin, he's got motivation to try to give somebody a cool name, right?
Yeah.
His name's Drawd Munbrin. Come on, like, wouldn't he have rather had somebody say, what's your name? Oh, it's Broad Laser Knife. Cool.
Yeah. He's the one who's like, it should be Dash Rendar, but I'm Drawd Munbrin.
We've talked about it a lot. I think there's some people who will never like this scene and think it is too on the nose to have a famous character be named, that it's too much origin story. I love the scene because of everything that's at work. One of the things being that is in the real world why Han Solo is named Solo, to drive home that's this character trait that he thinks about himself. That's where he begins his journey. He thinks he's Solo, but he's not. And so it never bothered me to bring that real world influence into it, and in particular to put it in this Imperial context of, we've got to talk about some Imperials who are high ranking, right? And fighting big fights, Mahdi and Tag and Krennic being almost cracking the barrier to be at the very top. Drawd Munbrin is not in those rooms, and he's not going to be, right?
No.
And everything about that is, he's just like, I'm just doing my day job. I don't quite have empathy, but you are a weird one. You want to come back here, huh? And it's that vibe, right? In that specific moment when, you know, there's this great contrast before him when Drawd's just like, day job, hiring another desperate kid who has nowhere to go. And this is such a meaningful and weighty moment for Han. And when Han says that he wants to get back to Corellia, and Drawd Munbrin just says, don't hear that much. As does a sniff. And then, what's your name, son? And the sniff is like, it's kind of bored, but it's also kind of like he has a cold.
Mm-hmm.
Just like, I hate that I'm stationed on Corellia. It's so damp here. Like, that to me is just like the whole vibe. And then it leads into all the great, you know, Han, what, who are your people? A lot of other great lines, but it's that sniff that just really drives home this great contrast between us looking at this film as the origin of this mythic character, Han Solo. The name has weight. The idea that to Han that he doesn't have people, that he doesn't have his family, that he lost Kira, it has weight. And to this guy, it's just a day job, and he would never in a million years remember this.
So yeah, this scene, you're so right. If you don't love the scene, you're probably never going to be convinced, and that's totally fine. We were so curious if this was actually going to happen. Remember the big Iger comments, and mm-hmm. it happened. And I went from, quite frankly, saying I don't want him to get his name from some source. You know, that he makes it up or it's an Imperial. I was on record many different places.
Then if there was happens. A poll, I would have voted against it. And yes. To be clear, I don't think there should be polls. I think creators should create. But if there was a poll, I would have voted against it.
Yeah. But then it happens. And then you and I and Jennifer discussed it. And you highlighted this sniff in many discussions off air, on air. And it is everything I love about the scene, about how important it is for Han and how little of importance it has for Drod and everything you're describing. And I do think it comes down to the sniff in a lot of ways. And yeah, I've given some impassioned pleas for defense of this scene and everything. And I was on the Rotten Tomatoes shows recently about it. And the great producer there, Lucy, who loves hearing me talk about Star Wars and had you on for the Phantom Menace episode, mm-hmm. if I believe, loves hearing us talk about Star Wars. I gave my speech and about this is the mundane Tuesday for this guy. And that is the part of the Empire's oppression of the galaxy. It's just a job for them to oppress everybody. And she was like, nah, it sucks. So I can't defend it anymore other than to say this is one of the great Imperial officer moments. It is character acting. It is acting is everything, which character acting is acting, by the way. You know what I mean? It's all down to this. This is probably what makes a scene. And I don't know if it was in the script or not. You and I have talked about, hey, what a writer puts in there. What's the intent? But an actor and a director, they're going to find even more subtext and layers to the moments, to the beats. And I got to think this is one of those moments of an actor just going, let me give this read. Or a director, one of the directors saying, hey, let's put this in here. Or I don't know.
Strikes me as just an actor feeling out like, okay, this is a Tuesday for this guy, right? Okay, well,
yeah.
I don't need to be on my best behavior. Like, hey, if Tarkin paid a visit to that facility, he would not be sniffing like that, right? Like, it communicates that he doesn't care about Han or anything. He does not need to be. Even his posture is just like, oh God, who cares? And yet in that, and you're making me think of this, you're highlighting this so much. I think part of the power of it is in that moment, he's just like, it's so casual. It's so Tuesday, but it's also just totally unquestioned that I also have utter power over you and your life. Like mm-hmm. if I wanted to sniff and do a tiny gesture with my hand, those stormtroopers would take you and your life away in a second.
Yeah.
And just that, like the fact that I have total and utter power over you, I'm literally physically above you, is boring to me.
Yeah,
because it's just the way it is. Like there, yeah, it's a lot mm-hmm. of kind of layers that give it power.
Yeah, and then we can discuss the solo of it all a little bit later on. But I love that moment. Anyways, that's a great one. Good old Drod Mundbrin.
The sniff of Mundbrin. My number three.
My number three, we're going to Empire Strikes Back. We are going to the chase of the Millennium Falcon. We're on the bridge of the Tyrant Star Destroyer and Captain Zamuel Lennox. It's with an X. So I don't know if I'm saying that even right. How would you say that, Joseph? Examuel?
Oh, boy. Yeah. I mean, I'll cling to Lennox. I'm sure of that. Yeah. I would say Zamuel. Zamuel Lennox.
Zamuel Lennox. Captain Lennox. By the way, I love Imperial officer names. I don't have any tattoos. I might just get all the tattoos of Imperial officer names.
Do you have one of those t-shirts? You know, the pop culture, so-and-so, and just list all the first names of the Imperial officers.
I that would be great. We need one of those. Need one of those. We are going to Fermus. Captain Lennox.
Yeah. Get Zamuel and
Zamuel, Tied and Fermus Kendall. I was looking down my list. This is not the Pursuit of the Millennium Falcon. This is Hoth. My apologies.
Yes.
This is what happens when you have literally 20 Imperial officer moments on your notes in front of you. We are going to the Tyrant above Hoth. And this is the transports heading our way. The first transports are away. This is that moment. And I love when he's told, here they come. And he says, good, our first catch of the day. One of my most quoted Star Wars lines for a lot of my years. And everything about it is this, again, going to it's a Tuesday, right? Now the Empire does kind of win this skirmish indeed, right? That's kind of the point here. Mm-hmm. The Empire strikes back. But in this particular moment, it doesn't happen. Lennox gets no great victory here. He does not get that catch. In fact, his ship is whapped upside with some blast from the ion cannon, and these ships escape. And I just kind of like that as a example of the Empire. And this theme might come back again. But here's this guy, prim and proper, all pressed neatly in his uniform. Just it's a Tuesday. He's probably friends with Drod, and he's just like, oh, good, our first catch of the day. We've got these pitiful little rebels. And this is the kind of attitude that even though they're winning here, they do get a victory here in a way. I think this is why one of the many reasons they kind of go on to lose is the rebels never take anything for granted. They're fighting for every inch on this battlefield. And here's the Empire just assuming, as always, they're going to win. So good. Our first catch of the day is it summarizes all that for me and why it's one of my favorite moments.
There's a lot of absolute certainty, and I like the way that Lennox says it kind of loud, like he's showboating, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
On the bridge there. He's wanting to make sure they hear it in the data bits. Our first catch of the day. Yep. And then Torrin Farr hits him.
Yeah.
Take that.
Yeah. Good old Torrin Farr.
By eye and control. Fire.
Fire, which, and it just, I think in a way too, because I think so many people love, the first transports are away, and the rebels cheer. That's a celebrated Star Wars little moment there. I think this kind of sets it up. It just sets
Absolutely.
It up. Just, we've got this. No, you don't. So, simple, direct, to the point, but that is my number three.
Excellent.
We're up to your number two. What do you got?
Mine are two. We're jumping back to Krennic. I wanted to have a Krennic moment on my list. There is so many to pick from. When we had this initial question on our Questions of the Force episode, I had talked about the We Stand Here Amongst My Achievement, Not Yours. It might be up there with my favorite. Oh, It's Beautiful might be up there with my favorite. But I wanted to go to one that just echoes in my head. And it is about the story, but it is also just about delivery. And it is kind of it goes along well with your Lennox moment of the rebels and your tag moment. The rebels got a little bit more going on than we think.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And that is on Scarif. He's already on his back foot trying to dig up if anything has been more compromised by Galen, trying to dig through the recordings. We get the great moment from Cassian. He's lighted up. And then we see from up there in this base of control, those explosions, those images of losing control, not knowing what's going on. And at this point, like, Krennic is the villain, right? But we have a little bit of maybe empathy, sympathy for him because he's striving. You know, he is the one who's on his back, who's being pushed out of the thing that he did, who's getting choked. Just for asking Vader, could you tell the Emperor that I did this? I still have my job. And like, so you're kind of there with him of like, oh man. Mm-hmm. So the line is, are we blind? Deploy the garrison. Move. And I was introduced to the word garrison in Empire Strikes Back. I know it's not a space word, but I will always associate it with, be unfortunate if I had to leave a garrison here. And it always sounded like a cool word when I was a kid. So combining that one of my favorite, not Star Wars words, but words I know from Star Wars with the, are we blind? Deploy the garrison. It's just so great. It's his breaking point right there, right?
Mm-hmm. No, you're right. And look, it's so funny in making this list last night and jumping around Disney Plus. I once again ended up watching pretty much the last 40 minutes of Rogue One, and and I had this moment on, and it is the Melshi lighted up, and then the explosions and everything, and as you're watching, it's such a great choice to watch it from his point of view at that kind of pulled out kind of angle of just like boom, 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 boom. I you're right. I don't know how else to say it, but I have a little bit of sympathy for Krennic. I think you're right. I don't know how to address that because he's a bad guy. But There's something about his climb. It's something about the office politics. It's something about just Tarkin just swiping his life's work and how he let that, Krennic let that define him. And that's one of the big lessons there, without a doubt. But just, this is a moment where you just know he's just like, it's Krennic's very no good, very bad day.
It and really is.
I just feel for him at the moment. It's real. And the fact that it's Scarif, where it's this, you know, it's where you probably go to retire to get that duty. It's the beach planet. And you got, what's it, Gorin, Lieutenant Gorin, just like kind of doesn't know what to do even before that. Like, what, you want me to get all the messages? What's going on? And just to have everyone staring out the window. And he's just like, you fools.
You absolute fools. Yeah, I think that's it. I think it's like he's already there on his back foot, trying to fix a problem. We can all relate to that when you're already like, I think I can desperately patch this together and nobody will notice that I broke this vase. And then 100 other more important things break as you're trying to put the tape on the vase. And then the fact that he turns around and just gives, this cycle of abuse, the anger, you know, turns around and screams at everybody else to fix it.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Krennic, Ben Mendelsohn, we are just blessed to have him. And do I want him to show up anywhere else? You better believe I do.
Yeah. So. Oh, in Ramda, I think is the name of who he's yelling at.
Is it Ramda? Yes, it is Ramda. Yeah.
And if you look him up on Wikipedia, Satoris, another great first name, Satoris Ramda.
Satoris Ramda.
His actual picture is just heartbreaking confusion. It's really, really funny. Anyway, that is my number two. Deploy the garrison.
All right, we are up to my number two. And the other day when we were answering this question on the Star Wars Questions episode, we did touch upon Captain Lorth Nita. I was talking about just feeling, kind of like with Krennic, Joseph, feeling sorry for Nita, taking responsibility, and paying the ultimate price. Hey, but that's the Empire organization there. So I wanted to touch on Nita, but do it maybe in a different way than we did just a couple episodes ago. So I call this one, my number two entry, Joseph, is how to fail in three easy steps. So, they're pursuing the Falcon. They need this ship. Vader really wants this ship. Han Solo, the crazy cat that he is, takes the Falcon right at the bridge. They all dock, which is a great little moment too. And the ship disappears. It's not appearing on our scopes, Nita is told. And he says, they can't have disappeared. No ship that small is a tracking device. And there's no certainty in his voice. He's just staring at his number two like, please tell me that's true, right? Is there tracking devices now? Because he knows the cost of failure. He knows it, but he's still clinging to this reality that it's not his fault and this is all going to work out. Without a beat, Nemet down in the data pit says, well, there's no trace of them, sir. As if just like, I don't know what to tell you. I don't know what to tell you. And then a beat later, you got MK, which might be, is it a South Park reference? I don't know, because this is a character that probably got named later. Okay. MK says, Captain, Lord Vader demands an update on the pursuit. You go from top of the ranks, you're the captain of the ship, the tyrant. Within two beats, you are done. You have failed. And it happens that fast. And that is kind of the life of an Imperial officer. I guess you're signing up for it, but that's how fast it goes.
Yeah, and he's on the, I think you're looking at your note, said Tyrant, right? Because he's on the Avenger.
The Avenger.
The lead ship, right? Like, that's always the trivia answer of which is the lead ship that's pursuing.
Avenger,
it's the Avenger, right? And I think that just makes your point even more of like, I am captain of the Avenger.
Mm-hmm.
I will get this, you know, rebel scum. Nope. Okay.
Nope. And again, if you're all going to go watch the scene, really watch Nemet, which is the one in the middle. It's so funny. He doesn't appear in the scopes. It's his first line. And then, well, there's no trace of him, sir. It's just such this like, you know, I don't know what to tell you, man.
Not my problem, boss. Like what?
No problem. Yeah. I love it.
Well, no amount of yelling at me is going to change it. They're not on our scopes. Yeah.
I
hadn't really thought about it this way too. Like we highlighted the, like, I'll take a shuttle and tell Lord Vader myself.
Right.
But I wonder if there's like, obviously like Vader's obsessed with finding Luke and he is choking with abandon in a way he hasn't in a while. Right. And I think people know it. Right. And I wonder if this is new, like, yeah, no, he choked Ozzel, right. Like on the bridge, like, right. No, he wasn't even on the ship.
Yeah, right.
And Nita's like, okay, don't call him. He doesn't like Zoom calls. He will choke me over Zoom. I got to do it. I got to do this in person.
Yeah, right. It, you know, again, leading to what I feel Nita doing. What you want out of a leader? I'm going to take responsibility. Anyways, I just love it. And I think in trying to look at this scene a little different, these lines are, you know, just burned into my brain forever, but I had not seen them with this level of humor attached to them. It's truly an office waste comedy.
Yeah, no, there's a lot of great status in the way these officers speak to one another, which is absolutely great.
Yeah, so that is my number two choice, How to Fail in 3 Easy Steps. Nita, Nebit, and MK, that's how you do it there. So we are almost to the point where we can take a break. In fact, we're going to take a break, and we're going to come back with some honorable mentions. I swear we'll try to keep it quick. We have a lot to get through. That's how we sneak in our extra choices here. We love doing it. And then we'll have our number one choice for our favorite Imperial Officer moment. Stick around for more Star Wars Ranked.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Welcome back to Star Wars Rank. Me and Joseph Scrimshaw are ranking our favorite moments with Imperial officers. These are the little looks, the screams, the ambition, the promotions, and the deaths. It's all here. We are going to get to our number one choices shortly. But before we do that, as always, we have some honorable mentions we want to get to. I'm going to toss out two quick here, Joseph. I don't mean to toss them out quick because they're big moments and big characters. I struggled a little bit with... This was clearly a lot of moments in the movies. You could definitely start to throw in live action stuff. I'm trying to leave a blank spot for what ever Indira Varma ends up doing as an Imperial officer in Kenobi. We'll see. But I wanted to address two of my favorite characters. Well, one's definitely a big favorite I've talked about years, but I really also find this other character underappreciated. And so it's Rey Sloane and Magna Tolvin. Rey Sloane, of course, goes, we meet her as a captain. She goes all the way up to a grand admiral. There's so many things, and we're always in favor of the idea of more Rey Sloane moments. I was trying to find like one. It is kind of hard to go back to comics and books and put them all together, which is, again, it's a shame where we don't have her in a movie or at a show where we can easily highlight one particular moment. But I did want to put the moment where she kills Galeas Rax, the mysterious ruler of the Empire at that time, following the contingency and all that stuff, and heads out to the unknown regions. It's a great moment for someone who spent their life in service to the Empire, but had a different version of the Empire and realizes that what it was isn't maybe synced up. Doesn't mean she was always good. I always call her like this, I don't know, like a sympathetic bad guy in a way. Like she's on the wrong team, but you really, once you know her story, where she came from, you kind of get it. And I think there's some great, it's a powerful moment where even Galeas Rax is like, you serve the Emperor now. You serve the Empire. You serve the contingency plan. And she's like, I don't serve anybody. I'm doing this for myself. And I want to build this. And my first order would be to rebuild this in a different way. And that leads off to, you know, storytelling we haven't heard yet and everything. So anyways, all that to say, Joseph, just wanted to highlight Rey Sloane, but I think that's one of the, if not the biggest moment in her Star Wars story.
Yeah, I think it is such a great twist on the Imperial journey to show somebody like Rey Sloane, who does have, who's an Imperial, but is good at playing the game. A bunch of great, stories about her, including in the From a Certain Point of View books. But that idea of like, maybe the Empire isn't exactly what I thought it was, and maybe it could be something different, maybe better. And the fight to make that happen. It's such an intriguing end beat for her journey as we know it. And I really hope to have stories follow up on it.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. And the other one, Magna Tolvin, is this character that was introduced in Dr. Aphra, I think issue 3 in the first run of Dr. Aphra. And she is the one who's in charge of Edu. And there's an interesting connection where in the Rogue One novelization, Alexander Freed had put a female Imperial officer who is in command of the base and comes up to Krennic, but Krennic waves her off. And he said later, that's not Tolvin. It wasn't intended to be. It was just, I had put that there. And then this Tolvin character is created after. So I don't know the entire genesis of the character. If they decided to make that character in the book, this character, I don't know. But Magna Tolvin is introduced. She's a little bit different. She's like got some cybernetic stuff going on in the neck. She's a kind of a sci-fi comic booky kind of design. She immediately is facing problems after what happened on Edu and taking some responsibility for it. She meets up with Aphra, and this whole wonderful kind of situation happens where she is pursuing Aphra from an Imperial point of view, trying to get her, trying to capture her. But she's also trying to pursue her emotionally. There's the connection. There's a tension that's brewing there. And a potential, bad but explosive relationship, we'll say at the best. And it all leads to this moment where this Imperial officer gives in and gives in that sense of allows herself this thing to happen for her, which is she kisses Aphra. This is in a moment where they both think they might be dying anyways, and it's kind of one of those, hey, if it's my last act, I'm gonna be true to myself. And the character goes through some other story beats and everything we'll revisit. I don't know if Tolvin will ever show up in live action. I definitely could fit in. I don't know, maybe Andor. I don't know if we'll see a similar to like a Black Crescent kind of appearance. But I just love this moment. It is a great moment. It's a powerful moment. And it's an Imperial officer maybe breaking ranks and following her heart. And I love that.
Yeah, no, I love those possibilities to see the Imperials who might question themselves. And I look forward to doing a deeper dive because I didn't know some of that stuff.
Great stuff. All right, so those are my two big ones. We'll run through some more, but I want to give you the spotlight here for some of your honorable mentions.
Your description of that we were focusing a lot on the movies, partially because they had so been so driven deep into our souls, reminded me of somebody that I left off that I want to throw in real quick. And that is from The Mandalorian, episode 15, The Believer, Valen Hess. He's such a great Imperial because he's so kind of exactly in line with the Imperials. His Wikipedia page quote is, "You see, boys, everybody thinks they want freedom, but what they really want is order. And when they realize that, they're going to welcome us back with open arms." So, like, look, he's quoting the official propaganda. You got to start somewhere because what they want is to be told what to do. They want order. But as we commented on in many people, there's this great tradition of the Imperials being crisp and British with, you know, quick stares. And the fact that he's a little bit more of this sort of good old boy authoritarian vibe. You know, it's a different thing, right? It's a different vibe, a different aesthetic for the same authoritarian perspective, and just wonderfully performed. Great scene. So I wanted to shout him out. Also want to shout out Captain Cannonhouse, who is, I think, at the same time, somehow probably one of the least and most known Imperials. We first met Captain Cannonhouse in Empire Strikes Back when his death is a joke. He is the Imperial whose hologram disappears when their ship is smashed by an asteroid. A funny, funny joke. It's really great. One of the many, many details in Empire Strikes Back that just so pops. He's popped up other places, in particular in the Empire Strikes Back from a Certain Point of View book, the short story, The Final Order. And it is this great contrast to this Imperial who died in a joke and the hubris of being in the asteroid field, and who cares? They can go, who cares? To be given this really rich and complex backstory connected to Ray Sloan, but that whole story is about Cannon House really being aware that the Empire is rotten. His quote on his Wikipedia page: "There is no restraint or principle at the center of the new order, and that is why people admire it. The Empire does all the things that people secretly believe should be done with power." And opposite of some of the things we've talked about, where maybe some of the Imperials lie to themselves, Cannon House is realizing, no, everybody in their dark hearts kind of has this fantasy of, like, if you have power, you should use it to crush others. Mm. And he's going through this epiphany, and then he gets crushed. By a rock. A giant space rock. So love Captain Canhouse. Love that short story. Highly recommend it. From there, back to just some fun beats. This is one of my favorite Empire Strikes Back Piet beats. It's when the bounty hunters are gathered. He's down in the data pit, and he says to one of his subordinates in the data pit, "Bounty hunters, we don't need their scum." Great line, great perspective that, yep, we are the clean, sharp, professional Empire. We don't need this ragtag weirdos. Get the, if you want to read the straight up speciesism into it, you absolutely can, right? But the thing that I have noticed, appreciating this beat, is that Lieutenant Venka, the delivery on, "Yes, sir."
Oh, it's the best.
Like, it's an order, right? Because Piet just comes over to vent to his, you know, subordinate, and guy's like, "Sure, yeah, look, if you told me, you know, your favorite thing to put on a space taco, I'd just be like, yes, sir." Just like, because I'm just doing my work and I just agree with whatever you say. And Piet says, "Those rebels won't escape us."
I love it. I think there should be a Tales from the Data Pit. Just all the mid-level, mid-management Imperials within their thoughts. Yeah, then Piet just said, "But I don't care about the bounty hunters. Why? I just said yes, sir.
Yeah, and leads up to the great Bosk growl and the claws hanging over and that, but we don't need their scum. Yes, sir. So funny. Another beat I like is the moment in Empire where Jeremy Bullock gets some FaceTime under the out from under the mask of Boba Fett, playing the Imperial Lieutenant Shekel, who uses Leia as a shield. Like, it looks at first like you're like, oh, he's just grabbing her. But then when you look at it, he's like, he's hiding behind her in case Luke gets a shot off.
That's wonderful. That's wonderful. Yeah. Great reference.
Coward. And then I had to include one of the absolute classics from Return of the Jedi, Renz, who gets the famous line, "You rebel scum," which is probably one of the most quoted lines, well delivered, makes it personal for the Empire. But one of the details that I noticed, I think I was doing this moment on the Star Wars Minute podcast, that there's not quite enough room in that set. And the stormtroopers who file in, one of them just kind of pushes past their way and bumps Ren's right at. Revy's like, "You rebel scum." He's got his perfect posture. And then he's like kind of shoved out of the way a little bit by a stormtrooper. And it's really funny.
I'm going to have to take a peek at that. I missed that. That's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. Got a couple more, but do you want me to pause here?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. We're going actually straight to that sequence as well, or just anything in that bunker. I love Ben Burtt. We all know is Colonel Dyer, who pops in there. What he yells, freeze, I believe. And then Han Solo throws some charges at him and Colonel Dyer dies. You know, love that moment. Love that Ben Burtt getting some FaceTime there, which he will again in the prequels. Same bunker, same. I mean, again, this is where I had to like stop myself. I just can't write down Return of the Jedi moments. Major Hewicks is the one. And we've early Force Center of Star Wars ranked, I believe, probably discussed this as just a big, giant moment that changed the galaxy. Major Hewicks gets the call from an AT-ST driver that certainly looks like Han Solo to us, but not to him, and says, "It's over, Commander. The rebels are fleeing in the woods." We all know that moment. But Hewicks saying, send three squads to help, and brings down the Empire. Open the back door. And then I also love the added bonus that everyone around him kind of cheering, like, "Hey, Doug, we did it. Hey, cool. Where are we going to eat after? We're going to Applebee's. Let's do it." And they don't know that they just let the rebellion into the bunker, and that will lead to their downfall. Yes, there's a lot of other factors, but I just love that moment.
Yep. Yep. Sent out to possibly be eaten by bears. Don't think so. I think they were probably spared, but.
Yeah, I do love in terms of just lines. Commander Igar is the one, or Igar, if you will, on the walkway who brings Luke to Vader. And there's so many wonderful moments in that scene. We did the Force Center scene by scene. Check it out if you haven't heard it. But I love his he was armed only with this, as if the lightsaber isn't just infinitely more powerful than the blaster. Way you look down, like, I don't know, a flashlight is what he had. I love General Veers. That I could end the sentence there. Veers Watch out there on Twitter does too. General Veers, what I'm saying, trying to play the game when he's in front of Vader at the meditation chamber. And that's when Vader's like, "Admiral Ozzel came out of light speed, too close to the system." I love that Veers just goes, "Well, he felt surprise was wiser," and he's cut off. Veers, how far is he going to go to defend Ozzel? He probably knows Vader's right, but he plays the game just a little bit there. This is the excuse he gave, is what I'll repeat.
It is not throwing him under the bus because it is Ozzel's fault, but I really did like, I like that stutter of like, "It's not my problem. I'm just going to tell you why the dumbass did that."
Yeah, exactly. It's a little bit of the, that's not on our scope, sir. Like, I don't know what you want to tell me. Like, this is what he said. Love that moment with Veers. So many Veers moments, indeed. Julian Glover's so great. Going to some Piet stuff. I love a little bit later when he's going to the meditation chamber and he gets to see Vader's exposed head, and we all get to see Vader's head. Man, that was huge. Mm. I love that we've seen Piet be so reserved. He's playing the system. He just got promoted and he just gawks at Vader's exposed head and then kind of catches himself. Like, it's not even just played as a joke, but just like, "This is what I'm serving." And you know, they all ask and they all question and they want to know. And he gets this glimpse, and I don't know if he's seen it before. I don't know if he's told other people, other people seen it and told him. I don't know. But this moment, I just love that read of like, that is who I'm serving. Oh, I better remember. Let me shape up and stand straight.
Yeah, I love that moment. I always have a relationship to it because when I saw the film, I was very young and the first time, and I think I looked away or whatever. And then I knew it was in there. So like the second time I saw the film, which was months later, I was like, "I got to see the back of Vader's head. Got to see the back of Vader's head." But I love this moment. I misspoke earlier in saying Vader choked from another ship. He was on the Executor with Ozzel. But, you know, that's a big ship. He choked him from far away is the point. Yeah. But I think the power of that, of like, Piet definitely wants to move up the ladder. And I've always taken this moment of like, I want to move up the ladder, but that means getting closer to Vader. And I don't want to be close to that guy. Like, if you, I think it's like strangely relatable in this space fantasy way. Like, you have a boss that you don't trust and are scared of. Nobody should be in that position, but sometimes, right, you know, we have been, right? The last thing you want to see is them vulnerable. Like, because is that going to tie me to them? Are they going to take it out on me? From a certain point of view story with Piet kind of dives into that. And I think that's such a great, like, ooh, no, I don't want to hang out on the weekends. I don't want to be closer to you. I don't want to see the back of your head. I don't want to know what you do in your chamber. No.
No. Do you want to go to the Outlander Club with me? No, Vader, I do not. No. I do not.
Mm-mm. No, I don't know which one. I don't want to know which one of those buttons calls your mom to take you home. I don't want to know anything.
Indeed. You want to go throw axes? Nope. Not going to do that. My final one, and this is a last minute addition when I was watching Rogue One last night, is you and I have been talking about Krennic and the battle between Krennic and Tarkin and all this. It's so wonderful. So many big lines, so many big moments. I love when Krennic finally loses it after Jedha. On my achievements, that old speech, and Tarkin's, saying, yep, I'm going to tell the Emperor this is great, and it's mine now. That all the officers, the middle management, all of them back away, and like a wave parting, like the Red Sea parting, it's the Imperial officers. See, they all just like, whoop. And they clear the space for both of them to yell at each other. And as if they're like, we're not leaving, but we definitely want to see what happens. And it just kind of summarizes the life of an Imperial officer. Like, oh boy, here we go. They're fighting.
Yep. We're just here to hit the buttons, fill out the reports. Yeah. Yep. Whoever wins this one, we'll report to.
Yeah. Not one of them is going to be like, well, Tarkin, sir, I think Krennic has a point. No. They're going to let him die. They'll let Krennic die right there if it'll help their cause.
Yeah. That is a great pick.
So there you go. A couple more for you, sir.
Yes. I just wanted to highlight the existence of Hot Kalis in particular from Rebels. Kind of a joke. By the time he's Hot Kalis, he's let his hair go. He isn't an Imperial anymore. And that's kind of the point. We're going to have more of these stories. You highlighted some people from the books and the comics who are questioning their relationship to the Empire and stepping out of line. But that arc with Kalis, where he's the bad guy. And then he's got that enemy mine bottle episode, with Zeb, and comes all the way around, and that's just sort of highlighted by Hot Kalis. So shout out to Hot Kalis. And then my final one is, hey, list of Imperials. I wanted to include Thrawn somewhere in his Imperial days. And I rewatched a little bit of the great episode, Hera's Heroes, because I remembered that, this is the one where one of the episodes where we really get into the Thrawn perspective of like, yeah, art matters. Paying attention to details matter. Knowing your enemy matters. And it's all about why is this person who's just claiming to be a peasant, which is Hera's cover, stealing this Kalkori, which is this treasured family heirloom. And that's great. That's the classic Thrawn. Actually, I figured it out from the art, which is great. But mm-hmm. I had forgot that he is explaining it all to an incredibly dense, rigid Imperial named Slavin. He's like, consider Slavin. There's a great Thrawn moment all around with the bonus of super dense Slavin being there.
Well, yeah, no, that's and Thrawn's relationship with the Empire is a weird one at best at times, just like what's he here for? We know the bigger story and we might get more of obviously that story. So I love that it isn't him like a Bond villain explaining it to our heroes. He's explaining it to the other villains why you're failing and why you're dumb. That's pretty great. Pretty Thrawn of him.
Yeah. It is absolutely great. And then calls her Hera, I believe, instead of Hera.
Yeah. Hey, Star Wars tradition. Well, those are our honorable mentions, as we warned you a lot there, because there's a lot of great little moments, especially when you start digging in. We are going to our number one choices for our favorite Imperial officer moments. And yeah, if you've heard me talk at all about Star Wars, you know two things. I like Y-Wings, and for whatever reason as a kid, I loved Moff Jar-Jarad. Teon Jar-Jarad, as we learned a little bit later on in life. So what moment do I choose? And I wish, on some level, I wish I could choose some of the deleted scene stuff that we've talked about him being tasked with destroying Endor. I think that's great stuff. Or being force-choked by Vader when he won't let him see the Emperor. All those things are great. But I go to his introduction and I'm trying to analyze, like, what drew me into this character? Some of it was, I don't know, misunderstanding, trying to find myself with a little bit more power in my life as I was a nerd who was stuck in the corner of the classrooms. And I gravitated towards the Return of the Jedi novelization by James Caan, which has you're inside Moff Gerard's head as Vader lands. And there's some great stuff. He's getting ready. He's heading there. And he has the line of great men never hurry. Great men cause others to hurry. I always thought that line was great. But now I dig into it a little bit more and just see of what it means in this quest for power and what he wants to be. And Judge Gerard, when you dig into his story, he's kind of a well-to-do kid who kind of goes to the best schools and kind of jumps in as an officer class. He's got some privilege. He's got a different spot in the Empire than the others. And I think he's kind of an unsuspecting, no one thought he would run the second Death Star, but he's got it. He's got it. And so there's this quest for power. And he meets Vader with the best amount of them, you know, the best face forward, the most amount of confidence he can muster up. It is Vader, after all. And, you know, he's arguing with Vader. He's telling the truth. I need more men. You and your boss are giving me these tasks. I can't complete them. And I'm going to go down for that. But you're setting me up for failure. And he's speaking these truths. I think we can all maybe, understand that on some level. Mm-hmm. I just love. Perhaps you can tell him that when he arrives and Gerard's quote, this is my specific moment. The Emperor is coming here. Everything on his face changes. Everything is not just, oh, the boss is here. All that quest for power, all that great men never hurry, great men cause others to hurry, just goes out the window because you are not winning. This game is not going to end well for anyone here who's serving. You all serve this one person, and that's the way it's going to be. And you're at his whim, you're at his beck and call. Even the impossible task that's out in front of you, you have to succeed or you die. I love it. The face falls down. This Moff who thinks he's in control, who wants more control, he knows he'll never get it. The Emperor is coming here is a line full of fear, anxiety, and just striking reality, we'll say, for Moff Gerard.
I love that you picked this moment. Jared Gerard is great. I think you're doing some great analysis of who the character is, your own journey with him, all those great details from the novelization, which I have not read in many a year. Yeah. So I would have to revisit. But there's so much power in that scene. I always think of it from the perspective that you have shared about wrestling, like that. This whole scene is to put over the Emperor, right?
Yeah.
The Emperor is not as forgiving as I am. Like, you know, who's more, who's more frightening than Vader, right? So the scene works really well there. This line works really well there, but it does go to those deeper levels where you feel Jared Rod as somebody who, of course, has bought into the zero sum game. Everything is a battle. Everything is about domination. Are you being dominated? Or are you being subjugated? Right. And the horrible cycle of that worldview, that you have that moment where you get to preen because you have all these people under you, and then it collapses when you're reminded, like, oh no, I believe in domination, and now somebody's trying to dominate me. That's not cool. The hubris of that, you know, you said it really well, but it shatters in that moment. And I think there is something different about him because we've seen lots of strong, powerful people or lots of sort of like weasels and you know, boot kissers, you know, that we've celebrated. And Gerdra is the first one who just feels like, I shouldn't have taken this day job because like you want my quota to be what? And you want, I can't, what the hell am I supposed to do? Come on, man. Like it's so relatable, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. There's no way I can succeed in this, which makes sense that he has these, this kind of, maybe awakening later on, and it's too late, quite frankly, but just, this horrible task of, I know I have to rip open the envelope when the time comes and my target is Endor, where all of our men are on. That just doesn't sit right with me. And it all kind of can tie back to this as well. And if you're all listening, if you haven't taken a look at the Return of the Jedi novelization, I totally recommend it. It's a great read. So is the Empire one too. So there you go.
Yeah. Fascinating stuff in those books from a little bit I've flipped through and remember from a kid.
Absolutely. All right, that's my number one choice. Grand Moff Tion Jared Gerard. Well, not Grand Moff, excuse me, just Moff. I promote him. I wanted to give him the promotion that he wanted.
We
are going to your number one choice, Joseph, for your most favorite Imperial officer moment. What do you got?
We are going back to the beginning in one of the original Imperials, and we are going to the actual Grand Moff, Moff Tarkin. So many, many moments that I could list. He is a fascinating character, obviously been developed a lot in Clone Wars animated series, his own book, Tarkin, in the comics, all that. He is unlike some of the other Imperials we meet, like Ozzo, who seems like he failed upward, or Jared Rod, who's the young rich kid, right? Who got an advantage, you know, the snaky guys like Piet, and who can play the game pretty well. Tarkin actually has the strategy and the strength to back up some of his attitude, right? And we get that in all those clipped lines, and he's the one who actually does find a way to, you know, get the information from Leia through manipulation, you know. So he's got the strength and he's got the strategy, but within that, he is still victim of hubris, and that's the moment that I gravitated to ultimately is this moment between two great Imperial officers. It's towards the end. The Death Star is under attack. Tarkin's been winning and getting everything he wanted. He got the information from Leia. He demonstrated the strength of the Death Star. Kenobi is gone. He did not escape. And now they're going to wipe out the rebellion. And this Imperial, who is also at the meeting, who has one of the greatest names in all of Star Wars.
It really does.
More Adamin Bast comes up and says, "We've analyzed their attack, sir, and there is a danger. Should I have your ship standing by?" Which is, that's the real Imperial snaky, you know, who cares about everybody else? You've got an escape ship, right? And Tarkin's hubris. "Evacuate in our moment of triumph? I think you overestimate their chances." It's so good. It's so good because Tarkin is so sharp, so analytical, so strong, and falls in this moment of hubris, right? Going back to Tag, you know, you're talking about Tarkin's eyes flicking back and forth between Mahdi's zealous obsession with the Death Star and Tag's caution and doubt. And like, the rebels are actually, we shouldn't just write them off. And he's tipped over into that hubris, not listening to Tag of like, no, I've worked for this forever. I want this. I'm going to give the command and we are going to wipe out the rebellion. And I will have this proof that I am what I want to be, this, you know, absolute dominant champion hunter strategist. And I'm so close to what I want. He doesn't even question the fact that he might die grasping for it. And then to tag on to that, I've always loved that the explosion of the Death Star and the hubris of Tarkin is made personal by that quick shot of his profile right before it blows up.
Yeah.
Is that reminder of like that's part of what is being symbolized by this scrappy group working together to find a way to take out this, you know, unstoppable thing is a reminder that a part of that story is the hubris of men like Tarkin.
Absolutely. Hubris and the word of the day again, because it's just through every bit. It's there. It is three squads to help. It is our first catch of the day. It is there. It is this all leading to this thirst and quest for power that destroys everyone who can't get off that path. And I love it. It's one of my favorite beats. I think I love that Bast is kind of whispering it. Like he kind of knows. He's not just coming in going, "We all got to get out of here." He's like, sir, just so you're aware. And he's got to stay and he's got to die for it too.
It's so selfish and everybody out for their own, right? It's not like, should I sound the evacuation alarms? Like, should I have your ship standing by?
Yeah. Totally. All there. Yeah. In that great moment. Yeah. It's important that the last shot there is Tarkin and that profile and that symbol of dominating power being erased.
Yep. Well said.
Well, friends, we've done it, and we've done it in less than 6 hours. We've ranked our favorite Imperial officer moments. And here's the great thing. Andor and Kenobi and other storytelling, we're going to have more Imperial officer moments to choose from. And we even left some off the table here today. So a lot of fun. Great list, Joseph. Thank you, sir, for coming in and sharing the hubris of the officers here today.
Really, really fun to celebrate some of these different moments that I love, but don't come up in our conversations as often. So thanks again for the suggestion. This was a ton of fun.
Yeah, Jay Winkworth, thank you so much for asking that question. It led us to this. So much fun. All right. Hey, if you want to find us, we are Force Center Podcast. You can find us on Twitter at Force Center Pod. Use hashtag Star Wars Ranked and share your favorite Imperial officer moments. We're on Instagram and YouTube as well. You can also find us on Facebook at Force Center Podcast. Get an audiobook on us by going to audibletrial.com/Force Center. Get some merch at tpublic.com/user/Force Center. Hey, Star Wars Celebration is coming up. Walk around in a Force Center t-shirt. That way we'll find you even easier on the floor. You can support us directly at patreon.com/Force Center. You can go to my website, kenknapsack.com, to find out where to follow me or get more information on what I'm doing, including upcoming comedy shows or my music show, Pop Rock and Radio, on Mixcloud. Joseph, where can they follow you?
Yeah, you can find me Twitter, Instagram, TikTok is at Joseph Scrimshaw, where I share some action figures that I refuse to open. Almost all of them are Star Wars. I do open some, but I like to just share. I like the packaging, too. So you can find that on social media, all my other adventures on my website, josephscrimshaw.com.
Absolutely. Check it all out. Thank you for listening, friends, and to all those Imperial officers. I mean, come on. You chose the job. What do you want from us here? That's it. Star Wars has been ranked.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Your personal info, like addresses, phone numbers, and more, are collected and sold by data brokers. But Aura steps in, scanning the web, sending you alerts, and requesting your info be removed. Get Aura's full toolkit, including credit and transaction monitoring, a password manager, VPN, and more. Get a 14-day free trial at aura.com/safety. That's aura.com/safety.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
So, Robert, tell the people, what's a pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel. A pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us?
Someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are pretendians teaching at universities, pretendians running governments, pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.